The future of farms is the future of food. No Farms, No Future is a new podcast from American Farmland Trust and Heritage Radio Network. Listen today.
Hello, welcome to Japan Needs. I'm your host, Akiko Teyama, a food writer and the director of the New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes a deep understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. We are broadcasting live from Brooklyn, New York. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi every day in the supermarket, but what is beyond sushi? We hear dashi ramen izakaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is still a mystery for many people, and I try to demystify it in this program with my cool guests. My guest today is Takashi Miyazaki, who is the chef owner of Ichigo Ichie in Cork, Ireland. Takashi moved to Ireland in 2008, where Japanese food was yet to be more deeply discovered. Also, he was met by a global financial crisis shortly after his arrival in Ireland. After going through numerous challenges, he fell in love with Cork, a small city in the southwestern part of the country, and opened a kaiseki restaurant called Ichigo Ichie in 2018. The restaurant became a huge success, and he earned a Michelin star only 6 months after its opening. So today we'll discuss why Takashi ended up moving to Ireland, why he fell in love with Cork, his philosophy of cooking Japanese food outside Japan, why and how he effectively utilizes local Irish ingredients to cook authentic Japanese cuisine, and much, much more. But before we start, Japan Needs is available on the Heritage Radio Network website, as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. So please go to iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify, whichever you listen to, and subscribe to Japan Needs. And please write a review. We really appreciate your feedback. Now, let's start a conversation with Takashi Miyazaki. Hello, Takashi. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, very good. So to get to know you, where are you from and what did you eat when you grew up?
Okay, I'm from Fukuoka in Kyushu area in south of Japan. I grew up in Fukuoka after university, and I got my first job was working in a five-star hotel. So what I eat? My hometown Fukuoka is there. It's quite foodie area, and also it's great seafood, and also so many different things such as BQ Gume, and also high end kaiseki restaurant as well. So I grow up a few different type of fun food. That's why I grow up.
Right. Yeah, Fukuoka is an interesting place because it's in the southern part of Japan, but I think major corporations try to use that city as a pilot testing place because it's such a great place. It's a really major city. And also, like you said, it's full of good food, the seafood. And you said BQ Gourmet means like, you know, B-class. But delicious food, so it's very exciting that you grew up in the city.
Yeah.
Right. So, and how did you get into cooking?
Right. I was a university student, but I got the scholarship for the university. So, my dad was a kendo master, which is a Japanese martial art, and then I've been playing kendo since I was a small child. And then I keep playing kendo, the martial art. And then I got scholarship, but I didn't go to university because I started the part-time job in such a small cafe in domestic Fukuoka airport. And very small cafe, but the master was quite passionate. And then I got into, I want to be a chef. I want to be a chef. And then I started cooking for my friend, my university friend. And then they asked me again, can I cook again? Can I cook again? So they looked at my food. And then this is my job. So I want to be a chef. So I quit university because I didn't go to a kendo class. Pretty bad, I know. But yeah.
Wow. Interesting. You never know what happens, right? Your future is always unexpected. Like this one is a good turn. So I'm glad to have you came across that kind of interesting part-time job at the airport. All right. So where did you work before you moved to Ireland?
So as I said, I started work at the hotel, and then that was Teppanyaki, but that restaurant is the kind of fusion of the French cuisine and the Japanese ingredients like that, and then serving in front of our guests. And I was there about 3 years. Then I wanted to travel someplace, and actually I had the band that time with the my colleagues, and they were playing the Okinawa music, and then I love Okinawa food, so I wanted to move to more south Okinawa. And then of my friends from university, he from actually the really south, a small island area. And I asked him about, that is Tokunoshima, which is Kagoshima, a part of Kagoshima prefecture. And I move it, and I want to see something different. But Tokunoshima is Kagoshima, it wasn't Okinawa. But I had a great experience to work with the farmers, and I was working small izakaya. It's a very, very tiny island, so everybody know each other. And then, so I started working in the restaurant, and also daytime, I worked with the farmers. That was a good experience. And I stayed in the Tokunoshima Island for 3 years, and then moved to Kagoshima and then worked some restaurant, and then back to my hometown, Fukuoka. Then just for a short while, I became a truck driver because I wanted to save money for my restaurant. Yeah, and that was good money, but I spent all of the my salary and stuff. And then my uncle had the okonomiyaki restaurant in Hiroshima. And he had great success with the business and small okonomiyaki restaurant. And he asked me to be a head chef there. And then my uncle opened another bigger place. Then I moved to Hiroshima.
Wow. So sounds like you really, you know, from beginning of the five-star hotel in Fukuoka, major city, to island restaurant, to okonomiyaki, bigger and small. So you have a very extensive experience, and you went through all those Japanese food, sounds like.
Yeah. As you know, in Japan, there's so many regions. If you go next prefectures, and then there's different food. So Hiroshima was quite new for me. And even Hiroshima's high-end restaurants are totally different ingredients from Fukuoka. So their cooking was different, and taste different, textures different. But after the okonomiyaki restaurant, I saw the one place, the pub restaurant, Irish pub restaurant, was looking for head chef. So I was kind of interested about Irish culture and music and stuff. Then I had the interview, and then I got position. So that was Irish pub restaurant. It's called Molly Malone's in Hiroshima. So one chef came from Galway, and she trained me for a month. So I had no idea then what is Irish food like. So she taught me some Irish food, and such as cottage pie, bangers and mash, and fish and chips, of course. And also that was a great experience for me.
Right. So that was at the beginning of everything Irish, sounds like. And then you moved to Ireland in in 2008. So why did you move to Ireland?
So for me, I always wanted to go somewhere to overseas to live and then still want cooking. And then when I was head chef in Irish pub, and I met my future wife. So she's Irish, and she was teaching English in kindergarten in Hiroshima. And then of course, she always in the Irish pub after work. Then so we started going out. And when she had a holiday and she went back to Ireland, so I went to Ireland. I came to Ireland with her for her holiday. And then that was 2 weeks. And do you know, if you go to travel, you're gonna miss your country food. So I was missing like Japanese food. And then in Ireland, we were looking for a Japanese restaurant. Then it wasn't much Japanese food or Japanese restaurant. Then I start thinking, maybe I'm going to do something, Japanese food here. So that was a kind of opportunity to move Ireland as well.
Right. And then you did move to Ireland. And I heard that there's some issues with your wife's visa. So you kind of had to go there, right?
Yeah. So I moved 2008. That was, you know, the recession all over the world. So just started. So I got work permit there, just only, which is I can only work only one restaurant. And then the restaurants closed down in 4 weeks. So I lost my visa. Then I have to go back to Japan. Then even I couldn't apply. Basically, I couldn't, because at least I have to work in 6 months or something. But I explained. Then I could apply the visa. So I could stay.
Right. Okay, so, but then you eventually moved to Cork, right, to open your own place. So what is the kind of the process that you got, you know, you really faced with also, you know, regulation challenges because of the visa, and also there's the economy that's really not in an ideal situation because of Lehman shock. So, so how did you end up moving to Cork?
Okay, so my work permit, I only can work in one place, but in the future, like, we are going to get married, like, so if you get married, you get visa, so you can work or you can open your own business in Ireland. And then at the same time, we are traveling up to Belfast and then the West Coast, Galway, Clare, County Clare, and Dingle, and then check the fish market and water, and then Cork was last place, and then we made a decision that it has to be Cork because the water is good. And then I'm from southwest in Japan, so I feel like, you know, settling in the south is, I feel better. And there's an English market in Cork, and you can get the variety of some food and ingredients, and then it's great local produce. So I just kind of fell in love in Cork.
Wow, interesting. So yeah, it's funny that you determined because of the water. So, and I heard that the water in Cork is good to make your dashi stock. Mm-hmm. So what's the water profile? Is it very hot water or soft water?
It's a hard water. If you, some place in Ireland, like a Midland or West Side, and it's very hard, like full of lime scale. So even like when you have in shower, you can smell the lime scale. Some areas, like But I didn't get any of those things in Cork. Yeah.
Right. Interesting. Right. And then, so you, before you opened the Michelin star Ichigo-Ichie, you opened a takeout spot called Miyazaki in 2015. And and it seems like it's still going very strong. So it was the first Japanese restaurant in Cork, I heard. And there you serve Japanese soul food like onigiri, Japanese style curry, and donburi, and rice balls. So why did you open Miyazaki first?
We moved to Cork and we're trying to find the premises for the restaurant. And 2013 to 15, like still like you can see the recessions, like some restaurants are closed down and empty premises, like, but some premises are too big for me. Some premises has an issue and I couldn't afford. And so then I was passing by and there was a small takeaway. It used to be a Chinese takeaway. But that premises was the most old Chinese takeaway in Cork City. So it's like 30 years or something like. And then I asked my wife, so why don't you start from small? Maybe the restaurant is too big. And then what about doing takeaway? Maybe people don't know what is the real Japanese food. So kind of windows opportunity, like, and then, so why not start from some dashi dish or, you know, katsudon, oyakodon, you know, which we love it. And then what Japanese people eat every day, that's where you started.
Right. And then, like what I heard is there was a first Japanese restaurant in Cork. So, I mean, restaurant or the shop specializing in Japanese food. So what was the reaction to your food from Cork people when you opened Miyazaki?
I've been trusting if I serve right food and tasty food and people will come back. I know also that was a big challenge in Cork City or in Ireland, actually. But if I do the right things, so they trust us. But that was funny, like when we opened Miyazaki and then the people came in and then they asked me, you know, curry and chips or 3-in-1, which is, you know, typical takeaway here, fish and chips and, you know, some chips and curry sauce. And we say, oh, we don't have chips. And then our customer asked, are you serious? Yeah, we don't have chips. Like, yeah. But it didn't take a long time. And we got, when we opened it, we got great support from, it's called McKenna's Guide, running by John and Sally. And they support us. That was a huge thing. So they came to my premises and within a month, and then they kind of promoted for Miyazaki takeaway. Then we've been getting, it's very busy, so.
Right, wow, that's amazing. So it sounds like people really had good sense of tasting Japanese food, regardless of as far as it's good food, Japanese or Irish fish and chips, they understood. So here you are. Right. Okay. So we'll take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll dive into Takashi's Michelin starred restaurant, Ichigo-Ichie, and his deep philosophy of cooking Japanese cuisine in Cork. So please stay with us.
The future of farming in America is uncertain. Our farmers are aging and selling off their land. But the pandemic has revealed the importance of local farms as the national and international supply chain continues to be disrupted.
I mean, it's not like most farmers have a company-sponsored retirement plan.
I'm Hannah Forden, HRN's program manager, and I want to tell you about a new show. Hosted by John Piotti, the president and CEO of American Farmland Trust, and produced in collaboration with Heritage Radio Network, this is No Farms, No Future. There is a new generation of small farmers. We're here to tell their stories, share knowledge, and dig deep into the future of American farming. From land stewardship,
we are losing 2,000 acres of farmland a day.
The price of land is often so high that it's really hard to get started.
To cracks in the supply chain.
By the time I go shopping every single day, there's no meat left to feed my family.
The future of farms is the future of food. Subscribe to No Farms, No Future, a new podcast from American Farmland Trust and Heritage Radio Network. Find us wherever you like to listen.
Welcome back. You're listening to Japanese. I'm your host, Akiko Teyama, and my guest today is Takashi Miyazaki, who is the chef owner of the Michelin-starred Kaiseki restaurant, Ichigo Ichie, in Cork Island. So in 2018, 3 years after you opened Miyazaki, you opened a fine dining restaurant called Ichigo Ichie.
Yes.
And the restaurant has 25 seats in total, including a 5-seat chef's counter. So what is the concept of Ichigo Ichie, and why did you open it?
Okay, so since we opened Miyazaki, and then I got a great opportunity to, you know, more teaching Japanese food or promotion for the Japanese food, which is I was in the TV show sometimes and sharing the recipe for the Food and Wine magazine. And then there was huge demand. Takashi, why don't you open your restaurant? Like, and so it wasn't my plan. I thought I was happy with Miyazaki, but by a huge demand, and I started thinking, okay, if I open the Japanese restaurant, that would be my last one. So I want to finish something high-end restaurant. Then I have not much experience as Japanese high-end restaurant, like such as Kaiseki, or I don't have sushi master. So I try to learn by myself, and then mixture of my childhood memory, such as my granny's cooking, my mom's cooking. So it's kind of unusual things, but that's my palate. Like, so I grow up from Fukuoka food with also my grandma's food like that. Then I work with the Irish, a lot of local Irish ingredients, and I give in a Japanese technique then. So then can I do that? Kaiseki restaurant. That's my own color. Like, so yeah, then that was open. Then as I said, I've been playing kendo with the, such as, you know, mana or Zen. So I will skip that. All the customer, all our guests, also our staff, I want to give the experience and make a, you know, Zen space.
Right.
So,
okay.
So small restaurant, but I'm nice, calm and quiet. Even during the service, it's very calm service. And the kitchen, all my chefs, very calm and then nice move. So that's Ichigo Ichie.
Right. Okay. So, it's funny, right? Your mindset of kendo runs through your life and your focus and the restaurant. Mm. So it was 10 years after you arrived, you opened your own place, which is a huge achievement because there's nobody did that before as a Japanese chef. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And and then you call your restaurant, according to your website, it's Kappo restaurant, right? Mm-hmm. So what is Kappo restaurant?
You say Kappo restaurant is the master or chef standing behind the counter. and then have a conversation with the our guest at the counter. And also our guests can see what I preparing and then plating the food. And I explain where does that come from and ingredients or from my experience and from my childhood memories. So then also some people asking recipe or, you know, some tips like, so that's a couple style. The counter and then have a conversation.
Right. It's a similar to sushi restaurant sushi counter, but it's more sort of you are there for your guests, and then it's slightly more casual because you have a conversation and your chef can flexibly improvise dishes to your liking. So, yeah, it's a very cool, very kind of friendly and casual, but very, in a way, very serious cooking setup. And by the way, so there's another version, the similar concept is ryote. Ryote is similar, but it's more formal. So I spoke to Kyoto chefs and said, there's a difference between kapo and ryote. Ryote has a little garden within the restaurant, so probably it's a little more expensive and more formal. So that's the today's keyword, and kapo and ryote, which I think is easy. So what is the meaning of ichigo ichie?
So ichigo ichie is, ichigo is a one chance, and ichie is one meeting. So we are saying the moment perfected, which is we appreciate every moment. So if you be in Ichigo Ichie and you come back to Ichigo Ichie and there is no same experience, that meaning is.
Right. So it comes from the tea ceremony, like the ultimate austerity, right? Because this is, this seems ordinary encounter with this guest, this moment, this experience, but this is only once that can happen in your life. So yeah, it's just, everything is so precious. We tend to just overlook the preciousness of this moment, but everything happens for a reason. So yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, it's a great name.
Yeah, I love the word.
Right. So the number of philosophical question. So on your website, you quote a sentence from Hagakure, which is a famous textbook for samurais from the 18th century. So it says, in the words of the ancients, one should make his decisions within the space of seven breaths. So what does the sentence mean, and how do you apply it to yourself?
That's a... As I said, I said Zen atmosphere to make it. That goes through the chef and to the our guest, which is all the Zen spirits going through cooking skill and everything, respect for the, all the ingredients or and equipment and stuff for each other and to our guests. So that's a spirit. So if you keep those Zen spirits and it came across on the plate and or dish. So some respect. And that's why we were saying to the staff.
So, and also that's the seven breaths is just a quick frame, time frame. So you focus and you make the decision. So everything's in control in calm situation. So, right, that's again to your Zen mindset runs through your lifestyle and in your kitchen. Right. So probably like, You're not cooking French. You're not cooking Italian. So what is the essence of Japanese cuisine to you personally?
As I say, I use the local ingredients and giving Japanese technique. But I also, we do some the French cuisine technique, or sometimes we do Chinese Chinese cooking technique, or some Italian, or curing smoke and stuff we do. So that's all the experience to, you know, our challenge. Okay, next one, I'd like to do this one, kind of mixture, like a fusion cuisine, actually.
Mm, right.
So technically, it's a Japanese technique, but we use the ingredients is sometimes like foie gras or some caviar and stuff like that.
Right. I think the essence of Japanese cuisine you're talking about here is Japanese cuisine, you use anything available locally. Like you said earlier, each region in Japan, there are different kind of unique dishes. So I think you're creating your own Japanese cuisine in the environment of Cork Island.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. So, yeah.
Right. So you offer, classic style kaiseki course, which is a multi-course dinner featuring seasonal ingredients. So that's kaiseki. So what kind of, do you have any favorite local ingredients and how you use it in your, in your menu?
Yeah, quite a lot. I like Irish meat and the pork, which is we get pork from the West Cork and Kahabeg pork, and I'm huge fan of it. They are free range and they treat all the pigs really well. It's like a family, and also they have 100% Hereford beef and grass fed beef, which is beautiful. And they are always on our kaiseki menu as well. And also, of course, seafood. The West Coast seafood by the Atlantic Ocean, which is brilliant. You can get some variety of the fish. And also West Coast, I go foraging for seaweed. And then we make, of course, you can use the fresh. And then when I was in Japan, do you know hijiki? It's called a channel rack. I only have seen hijiki, only dried one in Japan, but actually you can get the fresh hijiki, the fresh channel rack here, and then you can cook straight away. It's just beautiful seaweed there.
Right. Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. So sometimes something's even better.
Yeah, of course. Very unusual. And that's why I say this Ichigo Ichie Japanese restaurant doesn't exist in Japan because we work with the lots of local wild ingredients.
Right. Okay. So do you try to discover all those new Irish ingredients that you can potentially apply to your Japanese dishes?
Yes, we do. Also, we have some vegetable growers, and they are very interested about the Japanese vegetables. So we give in an idea. We are trying to develop also Japanese ingredients as well. And then there's no lemon in Ireland, you know. It's a very cold country, but few people trying to grow in lemon or even wasabi. We are using wasabi from West Cork. It's a beautiful wasabi, fresh wasabi we can get.
Oh, wow. Interesting. So, okay. And who comes to Ichigo Ichie? I'm sure it's just a famous restaurant. So there's so many people, but typically, who are your customers?
We get quite a lot, good few people, the age of group and it's quite younger age and older age, and so all the people come in. So sometimes we get teenagers as well. And oh, they tried everything. Oh, wow. Yes.
So it's interesting because you opened the first Japanese food spot in Cork.
Yeah.
And now you have everybody coming to your restaurant. Probably they don't ask for fish and chips anymore. So, yeah, it's kind of you are educating people about Japanese ingredients, Japanese maybe idea of cooking in silence, I'd imagine. Right. Okay. And so what are the biggest challenges in running Ichigo Ichie?
So when we opened Ichigo Ichie, the challenge was, it's going to be popular restaurant or not, because there is no kaiseki kappo restaurant in Ireland before. So I wasn't worried, but I feel like that's another big challenge, because Japanese high-end restaurant and people is gonna come to that restaurant more. I know there was a huge demand beforehand. That was quite a big challenge, all right? And working with lots of local ingredients, like every time we test out, and then it most of the time it works. So that's another challenge. And but since the COVID, and then another big challenge. So we opened, and then 2 years, and then the COVID came, and by the restriction, and we have to make a small team, because we used to have the 25 people at the, for the one sitting, but it became half number, so we couldn't afford for the staff, and we have to make a small team. And then another issue by keep running the business. So that was another big challenge. But at the same time, we have learned so many things from COVID. So it's not the great, like, but at least the good things there.
Right. Now you can have only half people on the same quality, same quality of food and service. So, right. Okay. And I found a quote of yours saying, I'm from Japan, but I'm an Irish chef making Irish food. So what do you mean by that?
That's I work with the local Irish ingredients. So that's Irish food, you know. So that's why, local ingredients and giving Japanese technique and the Irish cooking in the island with Irish ingredients, so which is Irish food.
Right. That's true. Yeah. Well, I haven't been to Ichigo Ichie yet. I'm hoping I will once the COVID really comes down. But so what kind of, I'm just curious, like, for example, if you use meat from island, what kind of dish do you offer?
The meat?
For example, or it can be anything, but I was just really curious.
Okay. We have game season, so last time, it's still, we used Irish venison. We give them like a light cure, the venison, and also we give them kind of cold light smoke, which is we get the cherry blossom tree tip, and we use that for the smoke. So that is Irish venison with Japanese smoke tip, like a sakura smoke. Something like that.
Oh, wow. Wow, must be delicious. Yeah, the game season is so Irish. So, yeah, that's just, definitely you're making Irish food.
Yes.
Right. So what are your plans and dreams? Are you opening Ichigo Ichie in Tokyo, or what's in your mind?
I have one takeaway and one restaurant, and then I have two boys, so I'm wonderful busy enough. Like, so I just keep up the good quality and standard, and then more challenge is develop more Irish ingredients or work with local ingredients. So I think these things are more to come.
I understand. You're super busy.
Yeah, good busy, right?
No plan for Tokyo yet, I guess. But what's the landscape of Japanese cuisine in Cork and in Ireland in general? Because you kind of triggered interest in Japanese cuisine. And are people getting more interested in Japanese food and sake, shochu, those things in general?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are recently, we are selling a lot of sake. Our guests always asking a recommendation, which is, they're very curious. So most of our guests is want to see, and then they're looking for experience. And I heard a lot, they're looking for very special experience or, something new. So they ask all our staff, and then, what do you recommend? Even we work with all the biodynamic natural wine or organic wine only. So it's kind of unusual wine as well. So then I make the dish as well. Sometimes I taste the wine, natural wine first, and then I make the dish as well. And so it's quite flexible. So it's very fun to make a new menu with the new wines and stuff.
Wow. So I can't wait to go come and visit you something in the near future. So where can we find your updates online and on social media?
I do a lot of the Instagram. And most of the social media I do via Instagram.
Okay, so what's the handle? Ichigo Ichie?
No, Miyazaki _ Cork. That's it.
Okay, so Miyazaki _ Cork.
Cork.
Okay, great. Yes. All right. So thank you so much for joining us today, Takashi. I know what you're doing is very, very interesting, valuable. So good luck.
Thank you so much.
All right, so listeners, if you have any questions or comments about the show or suggestions for short topics or guests, please contact us at japanese@heritageradionetwork.org or akikoatema.com. Japanese is a weekly program and always available at heritageradionetwork.org as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. Engineer is Matt Patterson, and thank you for listening. I will see you next week. Japanese is powered by Simplecast. Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a non-profit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thank you for listening.